that. I know Mr. Chad's going out the door here, but don't forget that, Mr. Chad. He'll be back in a minute. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to spend a few moments here in Romans 15, if you will. Romans 15. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in front of you that you can use while you're here. Romans 15, verse 13. There was a young man who was graduating from high school, and he stood up to give a speech, and he began reading his prepared text, and he said, quote, "I want to talk about my mother and the wonderful influence she has had on my life. She's a shining example of parenthood. I love her more than words could ever do justice." And he stopped there saying, "I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty reading her handwriting here." Pick it up. But anyway. On graduation Sunday, I like to bring a message on looking toward the future. To many people these days, looking toward the future doesn't give a real feeling of hope. In fact, helplessness may be. But our young adults are entering into a different world than we entered upon graduating high school. There are many pitfalls waiting to devour them. Right is mocked and evil is lifted up as the only way to go. And frankly, since adults are just like a bunch of kids in big bodies, and we are, some of us are bigger than others, but we can all fall prey to many of the same perils. Let me read this verse here in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. "Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit," Holy Ghost. Let me read it one more time. "Now the God of all hope," the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to talk about abound in hope. Abound in hope. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for these graduates. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to encourage them, continue to pray for them, and for all the young folks who are coming up through the ranks here now. Lord, may we, Lord, I think sometimes we feel helpless. We think, well, what can you do? That's just the world we live in today. But you know, this the time Paul wrote this, this was a whole lot worse world than we live in. And so, Lord, if we can abound in hope, we can certainly abound in hope. And we can always hope because there's God. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this evening. May I not say more than necessary, but, Lord, I pray that what needs to be said will be said. And, Lord, I pray that you encourage our folks. Thank you for your salvation. May your Holy Spirit work. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. There are literally more dangers in our world than before. The enemy used to be somewhere across the ocean, and now it may be right next door. It's becoming more difficult to find a mate that has any sense to them. That doesn't sound too promising, but let me say that the God of all hope is still God. I believe some folks, in an effort to appear modest or pious, think that it's humble and holy to only ask from God enough hope to get through the day, to get through the current trial, to overcome the current tribulation that's troubling us at the moment. But God is not running out of His supply of hope. His power is not limited to a few rays of hope per year, per person. God's supply of hope is limitless, which means we can abound in hope. He says, "I want you to abound in hope." Have more hope than's necessary. To have a joy. Listen, all things are okay, but God has not fallen off the throne. God is still alive and well. His power is no less today than it was 3,000 years ago. He has His power. He is the God of hope. At the time that Paul wrote his message, this passage right here, the known world was under the tyranny and dictatorship of the crown of Rome. This was during the time when Nero and such like ruled the world. Persecution for one's faith in Jesus Christ was an everyday event. The filth of the world physically and morally filled the cities and the towns. And yet Paul emphatically declares that Christians can abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. As dreadful as the world seems, hope is no farther away than it has ever been, and as close as it will ever be, because God is ever present. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." This is what Paul says. Again, writing from jail. "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. I mentioned this morning. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That says there's still hope. Let me give you a couple points here. I won't probably have time to really develop all each point as much as I want to, but let me give you a couple points here. First of all, ready for this? We all need hope. We all need hope. Hope is a confident expectation. See, the hope in here is not just some cross your finger, cross your eyes, cross your legs, whatever it is, hope. It's not cross. It's hope because we have a cross. There's hope. It's a confident expectation. I'm hoping for some ice cream in a few moments. I have a confident expectation that he went and got it. And we got somebody to dip it. If not, I'll dip it myself. But I know it's going to happen. Now, I haven't seen the ice cream. I haven't even seen the bill. So I don't know. I guess there's ice cream back there somewhere. See, a confident expectation is this: I can't see it coming. I don't know from where it's coming. I don't know when it's coming, and I don't know how much is coming, but I know it's coming. See, that's the hope we have in God. I haven't seen him. You've seen him. I haven't seen him. When I lead somebody to the Lord, often after they pray to receive Christ, I'll say, now the Bible says, "For by grace you're saved through faith." Grace is God's part. Faith was your part. I said, and you're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, do I have enough faith?" I said, "You just prayed in front of a God you don't know to a God you can't see. For salvation that you're going to have way down the road here." Hope. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know when it's coming. All I know is it's coming because God promises. And that which is coming will be sufficient. That's our hope. We have God's word of promise on it. Hope, a confident expectation. I don't know where, when, or how, but I know it will. There are infirmities that we suffer along the way. We need to be able to face the future. Years ago, I did a series of messages on depression. I think there's a few of them out here on the rack. People become depressed when they see no hope. Well, what am I going to do? I can't do anything about it. It's bigger than I am. There's no hope. That's when people, and in Psalm 42 and 43, they ask this question: "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That word means, why am I depressed? Why am I depressed? It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." If we're cast down, we're depressed, we have lost hope in God. We're saying, "God, you're not sufficient. God, you're not on time. God, you don't care. God, you've lost your strength." As long as we have God, we have hope. We say, "Well, okay, I'm going to have hope because I know there's a God." And you're still trying to work up hope. You haven't yet trusted God. Because you cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. "Be careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." No, he's going to do it. "Let your request be made known, and the peace of God that passes understanding." See, we try to work up hope. We try to work up peace. You don't work up peace. You don't work up hope. Hope comes when you've given yourself to Him, and that peace of God, the Holy Spirit comes in to comfort her, comes in and speaks to your heart. Why in the world do I live life as if there's no hope? Am I an idiot or what? I don't have to go around with a soul that is cast down. God is at hand, and all things are possible with God. So how can I say there is no hope? As long as there's God, there's hope. You mark that down. As long as there's God, there's hope. And since He is not going anywhere, I have access to hope as long as my hope is in the eternal God. The first part of that passage there in chapter 15 of Romans, verse 1 through 3 says this: When then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves? Let any one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now you can say, well, what does that have to do with hope? Watch this. People say, well, I don't have any hope. I certainly don't want anybody else bringing me down. He's talking about in the context here, when he talks about the fact that we can abound in hope, he's saying everybody else is going to be bringing you down. They got their infirmities. They got these problems. And he says, you need to help them.
Well, I can't help myself. How can I help them?
Abound in hope. Why are you abound in hope? Abound in God. If there were never problems, we would not need to have hope. Now, I don't know what world you live on, but I live on earth, and there's a lot of problems. As Christians, not only are we supposed to bear our own burdens, but also the burdens of others around us. We should also be ready to build that hope in others. Let me give you a second point here. We all need hope. Number two. Hope is transferred to us through the Word of God. Hope is transferred to us through the Word of God. Hope is that light at the end of the tunnel, knowing we're going to get through the problems. Now, you may not be able to see what's at the end of the tunnel. You may see, but all we know is there's a light there. That light is Jesus Christ. He's our hope. Verse 4 of our passage says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Look at it. I wrote, he says, I gave you the Word of God so you can have hope. A lot of folks don't have hope because they don't know what's in the book. They don't know the promises. Listen, he wrote, not only this, God did it once, he can do it again. If he saved them and he saved, listen, have you ever noticed in the Bible there, and people have a problem with this because they have the wrong perspective. They'll say, well, God must be endorsing so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, that guy was a mess and God helped him. No, he's not endorsing sin. He's giving you hope that he even helped you, you sinner. He'll even help me sinner. He's given me hope and said, this guy's a mess.
But he still used him.
He gave him his word. He gave him his promise. He didn't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But I have hope because he'll even help a messed up guy like me. The Bible was written to teach us that as long as there is God, there's hope. The Bible is written to encourage us to step out on faith, believe, and accept the hope that is offered to us. Now, we probably will not see the light of hope at the end of the tunnel except in our own heart and mind's eye through faith. What I'm saying, listen, I'm saying sometimes we say, oh, I got hope, but I'm not seeing anything showing up. You can't even see the light in the tunnel. I know, but in my mind's eye, I know that there is one. Because God's already there. He's eternal. He hasn't gone anywhere. So you're just fooling yourself. I'll tell the fool that saith there's no God. That's the fool. I've seen him work. I said, there's so many times in my life, I thought, well, I don't know how this is going to work. I was praying about something this week. And I thought, I have this issue, and this issue, and I'm not sure how. All three of them, stupid me. I don't know why, but to be honest with you,
Sunday night, last Sunday night, I thought, yeah, I just kind of, a couple of things kind of came up, some things about the building, some other things. I was just praying about it, and you know what? He answered all three of those prayers on Monday morning. Now, why didn't I pray before? I mean, I thought about it before. I thought about it. But I actually stopped what I was doing and prayed about it. Well, I'm not sure what we're going to do here, Lord. And he answered every Monday morning. He's right on time. On his timing. So he said, listen. He says, whatsoever things were written, verse 4, written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That book that you've got, we gave you one. Stay in it. Because that's what it takes to give you hope. About 1 week into college, you're going to go, oh my soul, what did I do? That's part of the education. To teach you to lean on him. While you still have a net underneath of you. And there's going to be things you think they're insurmountable. It has to look insurmountable, because then if you can fix it, it didn't take God. So your hope's in you and not him. We've done ourselves damage. Hope has to be in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 119:49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul fainteth for salvation, but I hope in thy word. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I just hope we're going to make it to morning. I hope when morning comes around, I'm still alive. He says, listen, the word of God, that's my hope. Romans 5:1 says this. In fact, you got real close there, but Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When you get saved, you get eternal life, but you've got hope for everything else too. We can stand and rejoice in hope because we got him. You now have access to him. If all we see are the problems and no light, we can lose hope. And when hope gets thin and is not strong enough for you to stand on, go back to the word of God. By faith, we'll see it afar. We all need hope. Hope is transferred to us by the word of God. Number 3, hope is for all. Hope is for all. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time because it kind of gets kind of funny here in the middle here. But we need to encourage hope in one another by the truths in God's word. Look at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us the glory. He says we're supposed to be together. Now keep up, well, hang on tight. Hope is for both Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, that's the Jews, for the truth of God to confirm the promises that was made unto the fathers. Verse 9, and that the Gentiles, that's the rest of us, might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess in thee among the Gentiles, sing unto thy name. And of course, there again, Jesus is the access, verse 10. And again, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles and his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, that's Jesus, and he that shall rise to reign of the Gentiles in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, I'm not going to go through all the theology there, but he's basically saying Jews had, that's where Jesus, he was a Jew, Jews had access to this salvation, they had hope. But he said, listen, I did that so the rest of the world could see what God can do. And so I was really going to give the Gentiles hope. So it doesn't matter who you are. My point being is this. There are some people who say, well, there are the people who get to have the blessings of God, and then there's the rest of us. There are the people who get to live in hope, and then there's the rest of them. There's the people who got lucky and got dealt a good hand in life, and then there's the rest of us. That's a lie from hell. Hope is for every single one. The problem is we don't come to God to get the hope. Somebody has told you, maybe it's been generation after generation after generation. You've heard me say it. Well, I'm a drunk. Daddy was a drunk. Granddaddy was a drunk. Great-granddaddy was a drunk. We're just drunk. That's who we are. Well, we're low class. And daddy was low class. They were class. I was poor. We're always going to be poor. I don't have anything. I'm a mess, and he's a mess. Well, I've got mental problems, and mama had mental problems, and granddaddy had mental problems, and great-granddaddy had mental problems. Listen, I'll guarantee you 99.9% of all that is just simply old Satan beating you down. There's hope in Jesus Christ. The problem is we don't go to get the hope. It's for everyone. Number four. Now, hope is transferred by the word of God, so that means, number four, hope is of God. Hope is of God. Look at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope. When you get to a point that you feel you have no hope, whether or not you feel like you've been following God or not, do not go away from God. Because hope is of God. When things get bad, don't you run away from God. I tell you, listen, I can't tell you how many people I've heard who have said, well, I've got some problems I'm trying to work out, and when I get those things worked out, I'll be back to church. No, you won't. Because Satan's going to make sure you don't get it worked out. Or you're going to think you worked it out, and you're going to walk in and do God a big favor by showing up at his house. Well, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So now we're still in trouble. Hope is of God. Hope is not of you. Hope is not of your parents. Watch. God may use education, and we should get our education. But hope is not in education. Education is power. You remember that? Remember that? Education's power. Get your education. The last thing I want to do when I got out of high school was go back to college. Oh, my soul. I mean, I enjoyed high school, but my senior year in high school, I figured I was going to be a music director, and I was for about 20 years. I had two choir classes, band, jazz ensemble, vocal ensemble, and a math and English. I loved every minute of it. I was at, what? What's that? Well, yeah, math and English, but yeah, but you had to do those. You still got to do school. I had to graduate. I was performing in 8 groups at the time. Some in the church and some in the school. I was performing all the time. I've been using this date book since long before that. Make sure I was at the right place at the right time. I loved every minute of it. That was just a great thing. Last thing I wanted to do was go to school. But I figured if I was going to do the job better, I need to go get some education. So I got a bachelor's degree. I got a second bachelor's degree when I went back to college to a seminary. I've gotten a master's degree. I've gotten my doctor's degree. I've earned them. But listen, hope is not having enough degrees after your name you look like a thermometer. Hope is in God. You can have all the degrees, have it all lined up, and be hopeless because hope is a God. Now, the God of all hope. He is the God of all hope. Psalm 38 says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope, for thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope should abound in us. He says, the God of hope, fill you, and I get that in a little bit here, fill you with all joy
and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Hope should abound. That word abound means to superabound, to have more than enough. To have more than enough. I'm abounding in water. Jack takes very good care of me. I've got enough here. I'm not going to say that. That's not nice. But I'm going to spend a lot of time in a little room. No, I appreciate it. You know, listen, he takes care of me, and he has another one over there, and the fact is I do so much talking, I appreciate it. I'm abounding. I have more than enough. And that's the way he is, want to make sure I have more than enough. If I came up short, he'd have a fit. He would be apologizing all of himself because if I happened to be thirsty that night and I came up short on water. Now, the fact is, we don't have to come up short on hope. I don't care how black the day is. I don't care how many storms are raging. Hope is not a problem because hope is of God, and God's already on the other side of that storm. We learned about that this morning. Hope should abound. Listen, it's not just enough to slide through the issue at the moment. But coming out with not only your neck, but with hope for the future victories. We are not talking about just having enough hope to get through the day, but knowing that hope is real for all of our days, whether we can see it or not. Now, caution. Hope takes into consideration that you're trusting what the will of God in your life. Let me say that again. Hope takes into consideration that you trust and want the will of God in your life. Hope so also takes into consideration that this life is short. It is to be lived to bring glory to God so that others will come to Him. And when this life is over, the real life begins in the presence of God. The worst thing that could happen to me is that I die and go to heaven. Now, I turned 57 last month. I cannot believe it. And here we are, halfway through this year. Where'd that go? I've been here 13 years. When I've been here another 13 years, I'm going to be 70. I know. Ten more years, I'll be as old as Jack. No. I'm going to be 70. Where's the hope? Hey, listen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not all there is. There's hope. Because we've got to, listen, folks don't have hope, don't have their eyes on the right thing. Listen, true hope is more than we're getting by. If all you have is hope, and that I might make it another day, then you have an anemic hope. You've got an empty hope. No matter what happens, whether I live or I die, I have much hope. I may die and experience the hope of glory, or I may live here and have the opportunity to gather more crowns for the Lord on this side. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. How is there no hope in that? Some folks think that they have little hope because they have little chance to possess and experience all the trinkets of this life and this world. Now, I don't want to dig up anything that hurt anybody, but I do want to get pointed here a second. There are some people in 1929, jumped out of the windows at the stock market crash because they were going to have to go back and start over again. So instead of going back and starting over again, they threw it all away. They had the same hope that they had when they started. But because they had to go back, didn't have the trinkets, they said they had no hope because they had no things.
Listen. I'm going to give you another one here. I'm not going to, listen, I have all, no reason at all that ever think that my wife would run out on me. Now, if she ran out on me, I would not only lose my wife, it'd probably mess up our family, I'd lose my ministry, so I'd lose my vocation, it all would go down, all go down the tubes. But the fact is, I still have hope. I still have hope. I still have him. And by the way, said, so, well, you some people, well, you know, I lost her. I didn't have her. If she can go off with somebody else, someone already stolen her heart. And if they can steal her heart, then she lied to me at the altar when she said, for better, for rich, for better, for worse, for rich, for poor, and sickness and health, till death do us part. She lied. I'm sorry. So I guess I'd be better off. I know it sounds mean, but this is just temporary. When I get to heaven, I won't even be married. Now, I don't like the idea of that. I really don't. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you lose the world, you've lost nothing of value. So how could it lead you to lose hope? 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become first fruits of them that slept. My hope has nothing to do with this world. I've said this before. My job is to keep myself right with the Lord, do my best to listen to him, and follow him. That's my job. By the way, that's your job. Now, your job may be to be a wife and a mother. He didn't call me to be a wife and a mother. But he may have called you to. He may be called you to a secular job, whatever it is. He's got you placed someplace. That's fine and dandy. But if I lose all of this, I have not lost my hope. I still have I have everything that is of eternal value. True hope in our passage here is filled with joy and peace. True hope is filled with joy and peace. We are so intertwined with the world that, and the world, when things all go bad, they fall apart. And you know what we think? I guess that's what you're supposed to do. When things go bad, you're supposed to fall apart. If you don't fall apart, you must not care. Now, the fact is, I know you're supposed to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. But if all the world falls apart, though heaven and earth pass away, his word shall not pass away. He's still here. He's still truth. See, where's your anchor? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other, what is it? Ground is sinking sand. What are you grounding your life on? That's your hope. If there's something in your life, so you know, if that happened, I would fall apart. I don't know what I would do, I'd fall apart. That's your hope then. Now listen, my wife takes care of all the bills. I bring home my paycheck, she gives me an allowance. That sounds funny, but the fact is, she's not going to go out and buy a bunch of stuff or anything without me knowing it. She just doesn't. Well, how do you know? I know. I've got access to that stuff. I'm more about the kind of guy who go out and buy something and say, well, where was that supposed to come from? But anyway, my hope is there. But in fact is, if I lost her, I'll tell you what, physically,
I got a lot of problems.
When I say physically, I mean financially, all this kind of stuff. Not that she's bringing all the money in, but I'd have to deal with that. I have all kinds of stuff that she takes care of around the house. I mean, she runs the house. I'm over here working. She does so much. But the fact is, listen, if you're falling apart because you lose a person, then the person was your hope. God didn't fall off the throne. True hope is filled, it says here, now the God of hope, verse 13, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When you're trusting Him, when your faith is in Him, He says there's going to be a joy and a peace. I love that. It says fill you. That means cram-packed. Fully furnished with all that is needed in the area of joy and peace. This is the definition of this word joy here. It's cheerfulness with a calm delight. A calm delight. Joy says, everything's all right. In my Father's house, everything is all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. We'll say, well, there's storms all around us. There's problems all around us. Oh, no, I know. But God's in my boat. I'm in His house. I'm with Him. He's with me. Listen, this is not a joy that rushes on us because of some circumstance and rushes away from us when those temporal circumstances and our lives change. Joy, as much as I have to admit, is not a new car. Joy is saying, if I need a car, God's going to make sure I have one. Joy is not having the latest and the greatest. Joy is not some temporal feeling. Joy is not some elation that kind of came on. Joy is not saying my guy won NASCAR. But tomorrow we got to go back to work. Joy is a calm delight that says everything's okay. It says, filled with all joy and here, peace. And we talked about that this morning. That word peace means a feeling at rest and as one. Not flying to pieces. Not scattered brain. Knowing that even though the world is flying apart around us, if I'm with God, I've got peace. I'm not saying you're not going to have a little twinge and say, oh man, what is that? Well, yes, the Lord knows. He says, joy and peace in believing. Both joy and peace must come by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here we are, right back to the same old thing. The more peace and a joy you have, the more hope you have. The more hope you have, the more joy and peace you have. In fact, that peace that passes understanding in Philippians 4, go just a little bit further than it says, now think on these things. You know why we get cast down? We start looking at our circumstances. We get this disappointed. Well, I thought that was going to happen in my life and it never did. Well, I always thought we were going to be able to do this. It's never happened. Well, I wondered, listen, we don't know how things are all going to appear to us when we get to the other side. I know families who put off buying a new car, ran an old wreck. I remember some folks down in Westminster, just so they could put the kids through school. They didn't do this, they didn't do that, so we just can't. They decided, you know what, we're going to invest in these kids. And the investment wasn't wasted. Let God be true and every man a liar. Stop listening to what the world's telling us. Yeah. Stay with His Word. Almost done. Last one. Hope in us
is made alive by the Holy Spirit. Now, hope is not wishful thinking. You don't work up hope. See, I think there's some people who say, well, my problem is I don't have hope, so I'm going to work up hope. Now, you got to get in the Word of God. You need to yield to the Word of God. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit have control of you. Well, how is that? Well, when the Bible says to do something, do it. You see, we quench the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit because the Spirit says, you know, you really ought to do something. Yeah, but that would take effort. Well, that means I have to forgive so-and-so. Well, that means I have to get out of bed on Sunday morning. I'm not sure it's worth that. Well, then don't have it. Because hope is in the Word of God. It's how it's transferred to us. I hope in thy Word. Now, wait a minute. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, He's very happy to empower us to do what He's called us to do. But when we're down here and say, well, I don't really want to do this, and I don't really want to do this, you know what we're saying to the Holy Spirit? Sit down and be quiet. Shut up. If I wage, I'll come talk to you. That's really what we're saying. You get led, you ought to do something, you just don't. You know it's right, but you just don't. See, we look at us flipping a coin. Well, see, we'll do this. Well, maybe we won't. If you search for Him with all your heart, your whole heart, you shall find Him. But if you could take it or leave it, He's not coming around. I'm serious. Your hope, He's willing to give you that hope, but we have to go to get it. We got to go receive it. Get in the Word. Well, I don't know all the things. How will I ever know all this? One day at a time. God's not holding you accountable for what you know, for what you don't know, although to whom He giveth much, much is required. Folks, I always say this, and folks, Janet wasn't saved until she was 23. I remember, was it Noah? You went in there and you found that, hey, the story of Noah, that's where the story of Noah came from. It's out of the Bible. Look at that. She was a grown adult. She didn't even know where Noah came from, where that story came from. Well, how does she get to the point where she runs a ladies' Bible class back here? She read her Bible. I remember her saying, you know, I read this and read this and read this, and you know, some of this stuff is just really hard to understand. I'm not sure we're going to get. So what do? You read it again. Let's do it again. We got a lady in our church who has gone word for word in our Bible and written it all entirely out. Got some other ladies doing it. Every single word has written the entire Bible out. Just finished it the last few weeks. You know what it makes you do? Think about every single word. Every jot and tittle is saved. I mean, it's preserved. It's what God wanted us to know. Every one of them is inspired, every jot and tittle. Here's our verse 13, almost done. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. That word power means the miracle working, dunamis, the miracle working of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who through His divine power has made great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1 says. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge patience, and patience temperance. The temperance, godliness. The godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, and make you neither be barren nor unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things shall be blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. There's hope. That verse tells us that there can come a time in life, even if you're saved, you've gotten your eyes off the Lord, you thought, well, I'm going to take it from here, and you've gotten your eyes on the circumstances, you lose hope. I told you the
This morning, the story about my wife's one-minute message. I lost hope. All hope. I had a panic attack. When I first came up here, first day up here. Because I lost all hope because of looking at me. And I thought, this is more than I can do. And it is. And she said that. You asked God to let you walk on water, and now you're looking at the waves. I lost all hope because I wasn't looking at him. Hope is of God. Hope is not of me. Well, how am I going to do this?
You know who I'm living with. How in the world do you soar like eagles when you're running around with a bunch of turkeys? How can I do this? God's hope.
We all need hope. Hope is for all. Hope is of God. Hope is transferred to us through the Word of God, and hope is made alive in our soul by the Holy Spirit as we yield to Him. Now, the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for speaking to our hearts. It's so simple. We make it so difficult. We just keep our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith. There's not one person in here that is excluded from this promise. Not one. We just need to come to you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.